happy to see you. My name is Dan. I'm honored to serve as pastor. If you're a guest with us, welcome, welcome, welcome. We're a church where you can be free. And Megan read about that freedom that we get. It's described in the book of Romans. And essentially, we summarize it this way. It's a church where you could be free from hype and guilt and religion. Free to know God, to be known by God, to follow and love and adore Jesus. Our mission here as a church family is to make reproducing disciples. We didn't come up with that mission. Our church didn't invent that mission. We didn't go away at a staff planning retreat and come back and say, we have this great idea. It's a new focus, and we're going to focus on making disciples. It's a God-given mission that came through Jesus, who said, I am going to ascend. I'm going to leave you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to empower you to do one thing, one lifelong mission, and it is to make disciples. So we say, if Jesus said that's the mission, we adopt that, that's our mission. And to do that as a church family, we participate in the mission by partnering with families. We partner with families who have children and teenagers, and we partner with them to help them make disciples in their own home of their own children, and also here among our church family. We don't disciple children and teenagers primarily through programs. We do it through people. And the reason that we do that, well, there's a lot of reasons. One of them comes from the book of Thessalonians. When Paul the Apostle is describing to the church at Thessalonica what he did to make disciples. Can I show it to you? Thank you. I'll show it to you. Check this out. Here's what Paul said. Paul was talking to the church and he said, don't forget when we were there how we were making disciples. Look what he says. He says, we loved you so much. What motivated him? Love. We loved you so much. We were so full of love for you, the church. He said, we shared with you not only God's news. Okay, there's more. There's more. We loved you so much. We didn't just come tell you the good news. We didn't just come from a platform and preach at you and to you. But beyond telling you the good news, we also shared our own lives as well. We preached God's good news to you. You yourselves are our witnesses, and so is God, that we are devout and honest and faultless. Now, how did they know that Paul and his leaders were devout and were honest? How did they know that he was faultless? Because he spent time with them. He wasn't doing it from a studio down in the Bible Belt and projecting the message, but you had no idea what kind of person he was. He says, me and the church leaders, we were devout and honest and faultless toward all of you believers. Then he goes on to say, and you know, this is how we treated you. We treated you, each of you, as a father treats his own children. Earlier, before this text that I'm quoting, earlier he refers to how he mothered them. He nurtured them like a mother. So we got the mother and the father imagery here. We pleaded with you. We encouraged you. We urged you to live your lives in a way that God himself would consider worthy. For he called you to share in his kingdom and his glory. So, this is a model, a picture of a disciple-making environment where there are people sharing their lives with people. And to effectively disciple people in our personal lives and in our faith family, the church family comes together and creates environments that are primarily about getting people working together closely with people. We do that when we aim at discipling kids and students. Now, I'm going to introduce you to a couple of people who are going to be guest speakers. They're not guests to us, but they're guest speakers. And they're going to help you get a little better grasp of what it looks like for North Central Church to partner with families and make disciples. Now, you might say, logically, I don't have a student and I don't have a teenager, so is this the service I should have skipped and gone to get a donut? No, I don't think so. And here's why. Because it's important for the whole church to know what segments of the church are doing to make disciples of a small segment of the church, especially our kids and teenagers. Everybody needs to know what's being done to make disciples because you are a part of it. Do you know when we do child dedications, you know the part where I say, church family, would you stretch your hand out? We're going to take responsibility. We're going to take responsibility to accurately represent a gospel-centered church. You remember, you know that part? This is the part where we share our lives and we adults accurately represent who God is when we're with kids and teenagers and we express that love, we embrace them, we make them a part of our lives and we share our lives with them. So my hope is that you're inspired to see how we're trying to partner with families to disciple kids and students and that you feel some way, shape, or form, you feel a part of it. You feel responsible for it. You could pray for students and kids. You can write notes to them. You could ask them about their lives and ignore how awkward they might respond to that question at first, right? And just press in with your genuine care for them. It means so much. How many of you know somebody? You have a child or you remember being a child and you remember having a meaningful relationship with adults in your church who were not your Sunday school teachers. Anybody raise your hand? You remember having meaningful, yeah, awesome. That's what we're hoping to inspire here today. So let me introduce you to our director of Kids Central. Her name is Amy, and she is the one responsible for making sure that we're bringing Jesus to our little ones when we're gathered together as a church family. Would you welcome her this morning?
Good morning, everyone. So no one needed to go get a donut this morning because we brought the sticky buns to you. So so my name is Amy Jennings, and I've been the kid ministry director here for 2.5 years now. This is my third year up here, kind of telling you all about Kid Central, what we do in Kid Central, the value of it. And today I'm hoping you take away that you see our heart and how we are being very intentional as I explain some of the things that we are doing in Kid Central. So I've never used these slides before, so this is my first time. First and foremost, I always say that the primary discipleship happens outside of this building. In our homes, in our day-to-day, but we have the awesome privilege of coming alongside families and parents and caregivers and doing some of that discipleship. So today I have two main ideas that I want to talk about, how we make disciples in Kid Central, and then also how we, specifically in Kid Central, are helping families to make disciples in their home. First, let's talk about what discipleship is. Pastor Dan already talked a little bit about it, but learning to increasingly reflect the image of Jesus by moving from unbelief to belief in the gospel in every area of our life, changing what we love and how we live. So I think if you look at that definition, what we get to do primarily in Kid Central is reflect Jesus. That's primarily what we get to do, and teach the kids about Jesus. So how do we make disciples in Kid Central? Well, I want to talk about how we are creating environments. We make disciples in Kid Central by creating environments where our children can behold Jesus. And doing it in fun, meaningful, age-specific ways, right? Ways that are engaging our kids. So how are we creating these environments? That's really where I'm going to land today on this first idea. First, we are intentionally investing time into strengthening our Kids Central team. It's important, right? We want a strong team who we're all on the same page, we all have the same focus, we have the same heart and concern and value for our children. So how are we strengthening our team? Well, we want our team to have the education, the equipment, and the encouragement they need to help create these environments where Jesus' name is being made famous. So I'm going to talk about those education, equipment, and encouragement. So first, education. We have been providing some education for our team through two different ways. Number one, through videos. I've been making some videos for our team to watch, either videos that have to do with the entire team or videos that are more specific to certain members on the team. I want to give you a couple examples. First, videos for our teachers. The teachers are the ones who are preparing. They're going through the Bible story. They're preparing the activities that help highlight the main message of the story. They're kind of planning what's going on in Kids Central on any given Sunday. So one of these videos was reminding our teachers what our primary goal in Kids Central is. Keeping our message in every story we teach a gospel-centered one. A video that talked all about that, what that looks like, how do we do that. Another video I made was practical classroom management skills. This didn't come from me. This came from some research I did. What works in a classroom? We need to know those things, right? We're working with kids, so, and not all of us are teachers. We didn't go to school to teach. So practical tips like planning for our younger kids, shorter attention spans, how to engage them, breaking up the story, and doing some activities in between. And then another example of one of the videos I made was specifically for our special needs team, teaching them some English Sign Language signs that they can use with our kids with special needs. Those were new to me. Wendy and Hannah, who oversee our special needs, they suggested to me researching what signs would most commonly be used in our classroom. I did that and then made those videos and sent it out for those teachers. So this is one way we're educating our team, helping them, giving them the tools they need in the classroom. The next is in-person training. And this past July, we were doing in-person training prior to COVID. COVID kind of shut things down for a little bit, but this July we did an in-person training for our special needs team. And it was wonderful. Hannah and Wendy, like I said, who oversee our special needs team, they were able to go through each child we have with special needs with our team, talk about their specific needs, what works to help redirect them, help them to calm down if they are anxious. We're giving our teams the tools they need, and education is one way we're doing it. We do plan on having some more in-person training for our teachers and our Kids Central helpers coming up. I'm really looking forward to that. And one of our goals is to integrate, moving forward, integrate training about theological integrity. So I was just learning about this in our staff meeting. And what it is, what theological integrity is connecting what we believe to what we're doing. Educating our team as to why are we even doing the things we're doing. Why is what we're doing valuable, and is what we are doing based on the principles found in the Bible? I think that's important. Our team needs to know why they're doing what they're doing, and is it founded in the Word of God? So I want to give you an example of theological integrity. So if we believe what the Scripture says, that faith comes by hearing the Word of God and that Jesus is the Word of God, then He is the primary character of the Bible, not us. So if that's what we believe, then He is the one our children need to hear about. It's important for our teaching to be centered around Jesus, His character, what He has done for us, the life He's designed for us to live, and how He has everything we need for life and life more abundantly. How we are teaching our children and what we are using to teach our children matters. If we believe this, this is an example of why we're choosing the curriculum we're choosing, why we're making our main message a gospel-centered message. So the second E is equipment, giving our teachers helpful tools. And I'm just going to talk about our curriculum for a moment. We chose in Kid Central, we use the Gospel Story Bible, and it's a gospel-centered curriculum. And I've highlighted this before, but what does that actually mean, that it's gospel-centered? It means things like this. Every story is connected to the overarching story of the Bible. When we're planning to teach our kids, we ask questions like, what is God doing in this story? What does this story tell us about God's character? How is Jesus the true embedder of the main character in the story? How do God's commandments actually inform us about who he is, his character? How does this story point to Jesus? What do we see about our human nature and our need for Jesus, the rescuer? And how has God demonstrated his love for us? How does he continue to demonstrate his love? Those are the questions that we're pressing into. This is our curriculum provides some of the answers to these questions. So this is a tool for our teachers to use. Also in Kids Zone, we switch it up each year, but this year in Kids Zone, we are talking about how Jesus is our strong foundation. Because of him, we have forgiveness. We have great and precious promises. We have love, life, and worth. That's what our kids are going to be learning about in Kids Zone this year. Next is encouragement. After COVID, once we were starting to gather again, I had it on my heart to just start having these Kids Central huddles, as I call them, after our VIP meetings on Sunday mornings. It's where the Kids Central team members who are on that Sunday, we gather together in our check-in space. We talk about the specifics of that Sunday, but we pray together. We pray for Kids Central. We've had the opportunity to pray for each other's needs. We've had the opportunity to pray for parents who are texting me that morning. We can't make it. We're sick. We got this going on. We have that opportunity in those meetings. Also, we have a Wednesday Kids Zone Zoom meetings where we talk about what we're going to be talking about in Kids Zone the following week, the message. And I think it's important for us as a team to talk about the message. So we're understanding it and then communicating that to our children. So meetings, we're making that a priority. And then prayer. Like I said, we've been praying in these meetings together. And hopefully this is encouraging our team to connect in transparent ways. I don't know about you, but I have a hard time at times being transparent, asking for help. But I think it's important that I'm hopefully promoting that amongst our team, and I'm also doing it myself. And also, hopefully these meetings and this time of prayer is helping to encourage our team to think of each other beyond Sunday mornings and to form relationships that are deeper, stronger. Okay, so in Kids Central, as we build a stronger team who's being educated, equipped, and encouraged, this will impact, I have no doubt, this will impact how we are creating environments that help our children behold Jesus through the Bible stories and messages we teach and the way we reflect his character to them. So second idea, main idea is how do we specifically in Kids Central help families to make disciples at home? So here's our vision, because some of these things actually aren't in place yet that I really would like to put in place, and I'm working on it. Similar to how we are strengthening our Kids Central team, we want to put rhythms and resources in place that will help strengthen and support our families. So through education, I have all the same E's here. Through education, so I want to put our kids and parents on the same page. So quick story, I don't know if any of you parents noticed, but I was putting on the message notes, CTC questions, Kid Edition. And I was putting out some questions to kind of have parents talk with their kids about, prompting their kids to talk about what they learned about in Kid Central. And I spoke with one parent who is new to the faith and didn't grow up with a background in the Bible and the stories of the Bible. And she was just like, I don't know. I don't even know the right answer. And so I took a step back and I said, okay, we need to stop for a minute. And I need to remember that not everyone has grown up in church, knows all the Bible stories. And so I need to equip parents in that way, help them as best I can. So one of the things I want to do is to somehow get the stories out to the parents, what the children are learning on any given Sunday, what the main message and idea were. So that way, when you talk about those questions, you actually know. Because we know our kids sometimes aren't reliable. They got like a Swedish fish candy, and then they say, well, it was about fish and a Swedish fish. That's all I know. So they're not always a reliable source. So that's one of my goals, is to get our parents that information. So you can study these stories yourself. If you're not familiar with them, you can study them with your children and you can grow together. So next is equipment. Those CTC questions I was talking about, I want to continue to do that, give those questions to our families. Did you know that we have over 100 adults in CTC groups now, currently, which is awesome? How awesome would it be to have mini CTC groups made up of individual families? Having questions accessible to you to ask your kids about what they learned in Kids Central, questions that can spark deeper conversation around the dinner table while driving in the car before bed at night, or maybe on a designated evening a week. The idea being, how can what our children are learning in Kids Central impact their hearts and get them thinking about their own faith? We're doing it for ourselves. We're gathering together in adult groups, talking about the message on Sunday and how it can impact our lives. Why not do that with our children? And then the next is parenting and discipleship resources. Pastor Dan oftentimes will recommend a book that goes along with the series he's preaching on. We want to do for the same for our parents, our families, our caregivers. I don't know about you, but has anyone ever read the principles in the Word of God and asked, okay, I get it, but how does this look practically? How do I actually live this out? How do I teach this to my children? How can our family implement these principles in our daily rhythms? I've definitely had those questions. And I have a quick story. I was talking to Megan Valletta one time here at church, and I had come from more of a, I would say, rules-based background. There not as much emphasis on God's grace and what that kind of looks like. And I was just asking her, like, okay, what does that look like? I'm starting to understand it, God's grace, better, but what does that actually look like? And she said, hey, I have a great book you can read. And she gave me, she went and got me the book, Grace-Based Parenting. And I read it, and it was simply an author taking the principles of the Word of God and just giving practical advice on what it can look like in your home. Not necessarily you have to implement everything or it has to look the same, but just giving you some ideas. And that's helpful for me as a parent. So we want to give that to you, parents and caregivers and families. So we're hoping to have a list of some great books that we've read ourselves that have been helpful on our website as well. And then lastly, encouragement. So currently we're working on really making prayer even a more integral part of church here on Sundays, you know, our time of gathering together here on Sundays. We have the prayer button on the app. We're encouraging people to use it. So I want to encourage parents, caregivers, and families. Let's pray for each other. you know, God wants his church to be filled with compassion for one another, people who carry each other's burdens, people who weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. So I want to encourage you, I want to encourage myself to be more transparent and ask for prayer. And then lastly, this is not my acronym, this is Pastor Dan's, and I loved it, and I thought it was a great note to end on, some encouragement. You might be thinking to yourself, I don't really know how to disciple my children. I didn't grow up in church. I didn't really have somebody in my life who did that for me. Or maybe you did grow up in church, but you just don't know where to start. And so I think this is a simple kind of explanation how to do so. So the S stands for stories from the Bible. Dig into the Bible with your kids. Learn about the stories together. Even if it's your first time hearing these stories, learn about it together. T, talk about and apply your faith with passion and sincerity in real life situations. My husband is huge on this. He believes in a lot of conversation with our children being organic and coming out of real life situations, which we've seen it in action. When our kids are struggling through something, that's a great time to talk to them, point them to the Word of God, say, let's look this up. What does the Word of God actually say about this? Having that conversation and displaying your passion for the Word of God, your passion to learn and grow, because we're never done growing in Christ, ever. We've never arrived. We always need to grow more. E, be an example. If you want to teach your children what it looks like to be moving from unbelief to belief in every area of your life, changing what you love and how you live, exemplify what that looks like, even if you don't get it right all the time. Here's an example. If you are teaching your children to confess and ask for forgiveness when they've done something wrong, show them by doing it yourself. That was one of the best pieces of advice somebody gave me, is apologize to your children. And they know I do it a lot. So apologize to them and ask them for forgiveness. You're modeling what the Word of God says for us to do. And then the last is P, pray over and with your children routinely. An example along those lines of confession and forgiveness. You know, when I have not treated them patiently and I ask them for forgiveness, oftentimes we'll follow that up with prayer and just say, pointing them, showing them that I need Jesus as much as they do. So that's what we're doing in Kids Central. Like I said, I hope you see our heart and how much intention we're putting into trying to disciple our children.
I always get stuck following Amy, which means that I'm not as aesthetically pleasing as she is, but so just bear with me here, guys, all right? For those of you guys that don't know me, my name is Jim DeWolf, and I've been serving in student ministries department for, I guess, about 6 years now, maybe going on seven, and I've been leading the team for I guess this is going on the third year. But, you know, it's a privilege that I and our team get to lead our students and love our students, your students, actually, really. It's such a privilege. But I'd be wasting the opportunity if I didn't give a shout out to the 13 team members that I have on my team that actually invest in your students every week. So some of them are here. If you're here, stand up. But let's just give them a little round of applause. It's not easy to dig in and do life with teenagers. Couldn't do it without them, so thank you guys. But I'm grateful that you guys give that team, our team, the opportunity to love your students, and I just appreciate the fact that you guys trust us with your kids. So thank you very much for that. But I think it's cool that we get to, that Dan gives us the opportunity to share like this every year, because everything that Amy said, I'm going to just say that first, because all of those things are absolutely important. And I think you can see the fruit of what she's doing already as students are moving into our ministry. So thank you, Amy, for doing that. But, you know, the old saying goes, I guess it takes a village to raise children, right? And I think it's important to keep you guys informed as parents as to what we're doing. And not only as parents, like Dan said earlier, as a church family, keep you guys informed of what we're doing. And it helps all of us be a part of what God is doing if we're all informed as to what we're doing to disciple your kids. So there's differences what might have worked during youth group. I don't know why I keep cutting out, but what might have worked when you guys were kids in youth group is going to look quite a bit different today. So that's important. And as a church, to successfully disciple your students, we need to be able to adapt, adjust the changing social structures of the current culture and meet students where they are in their lives so we can gather them, connect with them, and reach them. So you know, we don't want to water down the gospel, but we need to change sometimes the way we reach them. There's an author, his name's Tim Challies, and he kind of put it this way. People are always reached in the same way, which is through the telling, the preaching, and the sharing of the gospel. So one way or another, people have to hear the gospel in order to respond to it. The means through which people hear the gospel can vary a lot. So, you know, we as a church need to constantly be evaluating the culture and how we reach these students. So the reality, and there were some concerning statistics that I saw as I was looking this up, but it was no surprise to me that one of the statistics was that I'm dead. I'm loud anyways, so.
If Kira Glickert was here, I would have blamed her because she says I'm too loud on the microphone anyways, so she mutes me out. But anyways, young people today are less likely to stay connected to the church after high school than previous generations. That was not surprising to me. What was surprising to me, and there's an organization called the Barna Group who they're like nerdy number people, and they kind of measure, you know, they're focused on, I guess, the intersection between faith and culture and kind of how culture is impacting faith. And they shared in their 2020 State of the Church study that the church dropout rate amongst 18 to 25-year-olds has been steadily increasing over the past decade, and it's currently at 64%. So that was pretty concerning to me, and they said the main reason for this is because students find less value in face-to-face relationships. And if you have teens at home, you probably know that, right? They're just constantly typing away on the phone. Even us as adults have kind of gravitated towards that. So social media has drastically changed, I think, the way that we interact with each other. And I'm sure for many of you, you don't really get it, right? There's students that probably have entire relationships via text, via social media, even, you know, romantic relationships. And I personally, I'm a tech guy, and I don't get it. Technology is a modern language, I guess, for our students, for our teenagers, and they speak it pretty fluently. So we have to kind of get on board and learn to speak that language with them. And the other thing about technology too, and this is probably something that we're even more susceptible than them, is that technology has changed the way we all access information and understand truth. So more so than ever, we're battling against this mountain of misinformation, mountain of lies, mountain of false truths, false speakers, all of those things. And these things are all right there at our fingertips all the time. Can't get away from them. So these are some pretty serious things. So how can we combat that as a church and as a student ministry is we have to be loud enough to kind of wash out all of that noise that they're getting in the lives of the students, and we need to lead them in a way that, first of all, meet them where they can be reached and then lead them in a way that's full of hope, full of purpose, and full of grace. So we're going to meet them in those places, show them grace in those places. You know, in a life that's bombarded with technology, expectations, information, constant change, Our ministry, we try to give them a safe space where they can find consistency, love, real relationships with each other, and real relationships with other adults, and then most of all, the hero of our story, a real relationship with Jesus. So I'm going to just share quickly a couple of things that I want to, that's been on my heart that we can improve as a ministry in this upcoming year. And the first thing that we really need to focus on is we need to be partnering with you guys, the parents, similar to what Amy was saying. Show of hands, how many of you guys have teenagers, real quick? That's pretty cool. That's a lot of you guys. Congratulations. You are the primary disciple makers of your teenagers. So give yourself a round of applause. That's a lot of responsibility. And it's important that you guys are equipped to do that because the hour and a half or 2 hours that we spend with your students is not enough for them to meet Jesus and have a relationship with Jesus. So they need to see and know what it looks like to live out a gospel-transformed life by watching you guys. So believe it or not, they will listen to you. They do actually probably, whether they want to admit it or not, are following more in your footsteps than they probably lead on. And as a church, as a North Central church, everything that we need to be doing needs to be supporting you, equipping you, like Amy said, you know, through our teaching, through our messaging, through our communities, through our groups. We need to make sure that all of you, that as leaders, we're modeling what it looks like to live a gospel-transformed life, and that we're also equipping you guys to do the same. So, and then I think from the perspective of our ministry specifically, I think a couple of ways that we can improve how we're discipling your students and improve and equip you guys is by good, solid communication. So keeping you guys in the know of what we're doing every week, making sure that you guys know what we're talking about, like Amy said, so you can align what you're talking about with them during the week. So that's important. And then I think the other thing is to make sure that the vision that we have in our ministry and the values that we kind of hold dear to us is clear to all of you. So if we're properly equipping you and keeping you guys in the loop, then we can supplement, not replace, but supplement what you guys are doing as far as spiritual development in the home. So again, thank you. We're humbled that we get to do that. You know, we're praying with you for wisdom and vision as you lead your teenagers forward. You know, we talk a lot about our values, and we have three values that we have: biblical community, gospel fluency, and spirit dependency. But I think the greatest value that we always try to instill in our students is that sense of belonging and community, because they need a place that they can not have to worry about how people see them differently, how the culture might influence them to act differently. They can come there, be themselves, have relationships with each other, and get to know who Jesus is. So you know, it's our safe space as it is, where they can kind of come and learn how to navigate their faith. So, and like Amy said, and like Pastor Dan said, a quick reminder that we need to also make sure and encourage our students to be a part of the bigger church. I love that we come in here on Sunday and our students are all sitting here on Sunday. Students are serving, playing the drums, working in Kids Central. They are part of the bigger church, right? They're not just sitting in the youth room on Wednesdays with pizza all over their face playing Mafia. They are actually participating in what it looks like to be the Big C church. So let me encourage you guys to recognize that, to have relationships with them. You know, I think not connecting those two generations not only robs them of a true understanding what church is, but also robs us of the passion and the energy that they bring. And they are the future of the church, right? They are our future church leaders, so we need to equip them to be able to do that. So so just a little call to action, I guess. Skipping ahead a few because I know we're running short on time. At a couple, so I just want to encourage you guys. We always need more leaders. We always need prayer. We always need people to invest in what we're doing. So if you're feeling a tug on your heart to get involved with what students are doing, please, you know, come see me, reach out to me. You know, there's a reason why I have 13 people, or we have 13 people that God has delivered to us that love your teenagers and endure the long nights and long three-day retreats and take time to invest their time, their talent, even their treasures. And that's because they're responding to a calling that God has placed on them. And, you know, as Dan said there, we're called to go make disciples of all nations, all races, all ages, all genders. And when God calls us, we go. So if you guys are feeling that tug, please come see me. I'd love to have a conversation. There's tons of ways to get involved. It doesn't mean that you're stuck going on long retreats. We want to include you in any way we can, whether it's just prayer, praying for our ministry, praying for our teenagers, praying for our leaders, that the gospel's at work and is taking hold of our hearts. You can invest. We always have students that, for whatever reason or another, they are unable to attend retreats. Maybe, you know, families can't afford it or something. So we have families that sponsor them or people that sponsor them. So you can give. And then most of all, you guys, you know, we can pray. So I appreciate you guys taking the time. Thank you. And we'll have Dan come back up.
All right. Thank you so much. These are great people leading a great vision and mission for what God is shaping up here in North Central Church. Family, thank you all for being a part of it. If you have been, if you have a child or teenager, please sign them up and send them. You can check out on our North Central website or in the app what the programming is, when they gather, how often they gather. If you want to invest yourself, you want to share your life a bit, you can do that through our kids ministry or our student ministry, and you would start with something we call the Roots Track. That's where you would get started. The first step is to register. You can use the app for this, or you can find it on northcentral.org/roots, and that Roots Track is the first place that you go, and we actually have what's called a Super Saturday coming up in October. What's so super about it, you might ask? We're going to get all of our Roots sessions done in one Saturday morning, all three, where you can meet some people that you may not know and may not quite be familiar with. You can learn about the uniqueness of our church. And thirdly, you can get yourself taken the very first step that would be required to serve somewhere. And also knocks out a major step in joining the family as a church member. So you can definitely take action today along with the way that Jim said, but thank you. Would you all do one thing for me? Would you all please put kids and students and their team leaders on your prayer list? Would you do that? And I don't mean to just say, just because you're asking, yes, but would you prayerfully consider just saying, I'm going to pray for students? By the way, how many of you look at the world on a regular basis and you say, wow, this world is crazy. It's chaotic, right? How many of you go to the next step and say, thank God I'm not a kid right now? Thank God. And then how many of you go to the third step and say, OMG, I have kids that are they're actually facing this? At a family dinner recently, I said to my kids, hey, I got to level with you. This world that you're going to inherit, it's on you. I'm out of here. I got a few more decades. I'm out. It's on you. With God's wisdom and with God's power, obviously. But would you pray for our kids? To pray for our students. Let me ask you one more thing. This is like so vivid in my heart. I think some God is just kind of prompting me. Would you also pray for all the kids and students who've come through North Central Church, who have graduated in some cases and moved far away? In some cases, they've graduated from their faith. In some ways, they're the ones that are out in this world that we say is so crazy and chaotic. Would you pray for them too? Some of them are college students. Some of them are young adults. Some of them are young adult families. But if you're a parent with those kinds of children in your home, we still pray for them. We still think of them. We still love them. We consider them a part of our family, even though it's been a long time since we have been able to hug them and talk to their faces. We're with you. We believe that they need prayer and you need prayer because your heart is heavy with what they're facing and the wisdom they need to navigate this. So we need the whole church to do that, right? Jim's 13 and Amy's 24 or whatever it is, 44 can't do it on their own. We're going to do, the whole church family is going to go in. Let's pray together. Father, thank you today for your endless power that comes through the work of your Spirit to help us adore Jesus, to help us let go of this life of earth and embrace the new life in the kingdom, to become primarily a citizen of your kingdom and not the kingdoms of earth. We trust you to give us clarity, connection, and the power to do it well. We pray for the fruit of today to be a stronger, deeper, more rooted and motivated disciple-making church family.